Welcome back to Ed Gaines Radio on Sirius Satellite and Sports Byline with Larry Weissman from USA Today. Larry, happy Christmas and Hanukkah to you.
Well, thank you, Nick, and to you also.
You know, there's so much soap opera to this year's NFL season. It's just amazing to me. What do you think is the most interesting story? To me, it's not the individual teams. It's the fact that there is so little predictability.
I would agree with you 100%. I think that there's been a marked inability of teams to, for the most part, get on any roll or to build on whatever good things they're doing from week to week. And, you know, one of them I would hold up as a stellar example is the Dallas Cowboys. They've gotten waxed in their last two home games. This is a team that had the division title and possibly a bye in the first round sitting there for them and played terribly twice at home.
And last night, it's interesting, you saw that Mr. Romo was having fun with Carrie Underwood before the game. You heard that T.O. was visiting his old Philly teammates in the game. It surprises me that a Bill Parcells doesn't have more control over his team. It's almost like he's having to deal with Hollywood in Dallas.
Yeah, it's an interesting team that it doesn't seem to respond all the time to what Bill wants and how he wants it done. And I think the best thing that he's probably done, given that he never really wanted Owens in the first place, is to refuse to engage this guy and play these kind of games with him. Owens is kind of ostracized in that locker room. He's not a popular guy. He's complained about it. But it's better that way than to have players starting to really take sides. So I think Bill's handled that part of it real well. And again, with Tony Romo, he's an inexperienced guy. He had some real good games, you know, coming in when nobody really had an idea what he would look like, and guys tend to come back to earth after a while.
And it's interesting, too, the way they seem to ignore T.O. a little bit. They got that first touchdown pass from him. He only had two catches for, 43 yards. You think they're ignoring him on purpose?
No, I don't really think that's the case. I mean, they obviously didn't have much offensive success last night, and they have an awful lot of options that they like. They've got two running backs they can feed the ball to, a very capable tight end, and Terry Glenn. So it isn't like the only guy that can hit a home run on this team is Terrell Owens. And I think sometimes what you see is quarterbacks get a feel or a certain affinity for a receiver, the way he runs routes, but they have confidence that the receiver will catch the football. And I don't know that Romo and Owens have this sort of simpatico thing going that he may feel with, let's say, his tight end, Jason Witten, or with Terry Glenn.
And look at this team. You've got a talent at every position, skill position. Barber and Jones. Barber is considered in some ways more threatening than Jones, and he was stopped three times on the goal line last night. You've got Witten, a very capable tight end. You've got a solid defense, some of the better hitters in the league. You've got decent special teams. What's wrong with this team? To me, it's the distractions that have been the biggest problem.
Well, you could probably make that argument, but I don't know how that factors into them coming up so flat in home games. You know, and I look back to another one earlier in the year. They had Washington all but beat and didn't beat them in a crazy play where a field goal was blocked and then the Redskins kicked a late field goal. So that was one that they let get away on a number of levels. But not being able to handle the Saints at home, and not being able to handle an Eagles team at home with its backup quarterback playing, given that he's playing as well as he is, still, you know, they couldn't stop the run, they couldn't contain him, they were out of the game early. And I would agree that there's some sort of lack of focus going on in Dallas, but I'd hesitate to lay all of that on a number 81.
Well, it's interesting. It's one more unpredictable thing, which would lead me to believe the most unpredictable thing coming into this last week would be that the Giants would find a way to win. And so that's why I'm going with the Giants. It's like at the point when you think you can finally figure out a team, they surprise you. Let's move on to the Jets in the Miami game last night. Miami, a very up and down season. The weather didn't exactly help. The Jets could have given themselves, some real serious problems at the beginning of the game with that botched field goal attempt. What's going on with Miami and the Jets teams?
Well, for Miami being out of it, I think, you know, being out of the playoff race, I think that took a little bit of the edge off of them. And, you know, clearly they ride their defense. They're hurting the offensive backfield. They're not getting the kind of quarterbacking that they need and that they haven't had in, you know, how long, 10 years. Joey Harrington was, you know, adequate at best, and I think, you know, they've been pulling him from the, they pulled him from the last two games for a lack of production, but he doesn't have a whole lot around him, and Cleo Lemon certainly didn't get a whole lot done in the second half either. So, you know, the Dolphins are just kind of a team that's out of balance. The Jets, you know, they win ugly. They just kind of lump along. They don't seem to do much, and yet they make a play here and there that, that carries them. And, you know, if you could find anybody that thought they would have won nine games this year, much less be in contention for a playoff spot, I would like to meet that person.
And that leads us to who's coach of the year. Eric Mangini, I think, the youngest coach in the NFL. But most importantly, what every coach does is develop trust and belief, belief that they can win, belief that they're in every game. Certainly his quarterback has found a way to come back from all those injuries, but Eric Mangini is certainly my vote.
You know, and that's a good one. I would think it's clearly between him and Sean Payton with New Orleans, though then you do wind up overlooking Marty Schottenheimer or Brian Billick and what they've done and winning a lot of games with teams that you thought would be at least, you know, competitive coming into this season. The thing that I think you could argue for Peyton is that that team was in complete disarray on every level, from its organizational approach to the game to players being displaced last year and not being in the Superdome or in their own practice facility. And he's given everybody a real purpose there and a real sense of direction that was clearly lacking over the last number of years. And, you know, they've won their division. They're going to have a first-round bye for the first time in club history. And I think that makes a pretty good argument for him.
We've got a caller, Ian, from South Jersey about the Philly game. Ian, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Well, yeah, I just want to talk about T.O. I mean, you said he can't be getting blamed for everything, but he's got, what, 15, 16 drop balls this year. And they come in crucial moments, like the one last night that hit him right in the gut. I mean, just crucial drops he's been having all season. Big lack of concentration.
Yeah, I don't argue that. And
go ahead, Larry.
Those kind of things are really they're really destructive for another reason, in that they kill the potential for a drive. They take the wind out of the team. And the other part of it is that the guy screams for the ball, and when you throw it to him, he doesn't catch it. But, you know, mistakes happen during games. People, you know, other guys have to pick this thing up and carry it forward. And so, yes, I would argue that Owens has probably made as many bad plays as good plays for the Cowboys, but I you know, how do you blame him when they can't get in the end zone three times from the one? That's not his fault.
Yeah, what about this, Ian? Good. What about that deep pass in the end zone when T.O. didn't look up till the very last second, made no effort to prevent the interception? That was not exactly my expectation of a veteran who wants to be considered a leader on that team.
It was an incredible catch by Dawkins, but, it looked like T.O. just gave up on the play, just like he just stopped.
Now, I would agree with that, too, and I would think that one thing that you've seen in him this year is less technique in receiving. His route running has not been as good. They noticed this on the broadcast last night, that he tends to drift toward the sidelines and put himself in a position where, even if he makes a great catch, he's out of bounds. And the other parts of the game, the things that you look for from him in past years, his willingness to block downfield, to do other things, I haven't seen that.
Sean Salisbury is saying he's just an average receiver. I'm not sure if he's average, but he's not the T.O. of old. It's interesting the way he started the season and the injury. We've got to give him credit that he's playing with that finger, which can't be a lot of fun. But even having said that, he can be tough. He can make the blocks. He can do some of the things that shows that he's a leader, that he has experience. And in the end zone, when that ball's coming down and he made no attempt to go after it, that to me is a sign that this is a T.O. that has a different attitude than he's saying that he has.
Yeah, I don't think he's the player that he was. He's getting older. He's in a different place, you know, again. And, you know, the fit is hard to get. And he's just not a player that brings great focus.
There you go.
Ian, thanks for calling, buddy. Listen, why don't you stay on? Give us your address. We'll send you some credits from Tickets Now, some gift certificates worth $100 to tickets to concerts and sporting events. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. When we come back, we'll be joined by Len Dawson. We're going to talk about the coaching that deserves some credit besides Eric Mangini, Sean Payton. Yes, we're going to talk about Brian Billick, Marty Schottenheimer, the guys that should be up for Coach of the Year on Head Games Radio, on Sirius Satellite, and Sports Byline.